Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Speaking of Phenomenal podcast. I'm your host, Amy Boyle. In this episode, we're exploring the cutting-edge intersection of fashion and technology with visionary Anya Chen, founder of Tailor.Style. Anya's journey from Silicon Valley's tech elite to launching an AI-driven menswear rental service is a story of innovation, resilience, as well as a keen eye for opportunity. We'll uncover how Anya is shaping a new era of sustainable fashion, offering stylish solutions while keeping sustainability at the forefront. Tune in for an engaging discussion on the future of fashion, the role of AI in personal style, and how embracing change can lead to extraordinary outcomes. This is the Speaking of Phenomenal podcast. Hi, Anya. Welcome to the Speaking of Phenomenal podcast. I'm so glad that you're here.
Hello. Hi, everyone. This is Anya Chen. I'm a startup founder building an AI-powered menswear rental subscription here in the Silicon Valley. Before starting Tailor, 15 years in big tech company, most recently Facebook, where I helped to build out Instagram shopping's backend, Facebook shopping, and then was at eBay before as a head of product, helped them to launch a new business in the U.S., also Latin America, Africa, and Asia market. Was at McDonald's, a senior director, helped them to build out food delivery globally before Uber Eats was really popular, and helped Target to build their Silicon Valley office, build out mobile tablet e-commerce. So your neighbor's moms are going to a Target store and or go home and buy something on the tablet or iPhones, and those were my product before. And start my career as a marketer and data scientist and also teaching part-time at Northwestern University. That's how I met the amazing Amy.
Yeah, that's right. We met almost a year ago to the day in San Francisco while I was finishing up my graduate degree. What a fortuitous meeting that was. It's so good to hear his story. It's just so incredible. Like, where did the passion to get into data science and take it from all the different things you just led? Because that's a lot of things in a very quick amount of time. So give me a little bit more on that.
When I graduated in 2008 with a master's degree in marketing, it was a little bit similar to like COVID. There's a lot of company were laying off people right after Lehman Brothers went bankruptcy. So just a lot of the company are laying off people. Now a lot of people hiring. I also at that time just came from Taiwan. So I remember I pointed at a swimming pool and yelled at ocean. I thought ocean and swimming pool in English are the same thing. So my English was so poor, and I had to practice my English at a elderly center nearby the campus, because where can you practice English for free? Yes, you go volunteer and talking to elderlies. People told me the bigger city has more opportunities. So I went to New York looking for some opportunities out there. And turned out that I found that meeting people one-on-one is pretty slow. So I found some conference. I want to go to conference. But, you know, conference tickets are really expensive. And so I was a recent graduate at the time who has the money. I called a publisher back in Taiwan, which is where I originally from. And I asked him, I heard this amazing conference. Do you want us to cover the story for you? And they said, yeah. So I submit the application to a conference. I say, I'm a press from Taiwan. I cover this new story. And then that's how I got the ticket. So one day it was raining when I was getting rejected out of interview. I was waiting for the break in the clouds. So I waiting in the newsstand. So I saw some newspaper there and I see New York Times publisher name, this company. I was like, this is amazing. They actually do write down publisher name, and also you used to have the phone number. If you want advertising, call this number. So then I start cold calling each of the publishers, and turn out that they do met with me. And I met with the CEO of New York Times, VP of NBC, and met with also amazing people. But now of them were hiring. They all tell me, if you know someone hiring, let me know, because my company's laying off people. So I came back to Chicago and I thought, that's it. Probably there's really no job in the U.S. for me. But I learned so much by spending 2 months, 1 month in New York, 1 month in L.A., meeting with a whole bunch of companies and networking. So I wrote to a small magazine. It's an agricultural magazine. Their readers are farmers. So I wrote to them and say, hey, I learned a lot from those companies. Do you want to know what other people are doing? They said yes. So I went there. I prepared a business plan beforehand. So I said, this is what other companies doing. And then I talked to your former employee. This is what they told me. This is the digital marketing department I think you should launch. And you also need someone who can help to run the department. Ideally, someone who is pretty junior, so it's pretty cheap. And then someone with a marketing degree from grade school, like Northwestern University. And I happen to know someone. Me. And then they asked me, would you like to be a contractor? I didn't know what contractor means. So I said, yes, I went home, I Googled contractor. I didn't know why they want me to be a plumber. But that's how I got my first job in the U.S. I didn't just want a job. I just want to try my best because I was afraid if I didn't try my best, I would regret in the future. And that was what kind of drive me along the journey in the last 15 years.
Amazing. And I think it all stems from curiosity. You said, I saw this, so I called that person. And it opens doors, right? When we say, I wonder how that works, and I'm going to help out.
I think less about getting a job. It's more about because you have hope. So when you think of what you are good at, like, for example, I wasn't good at English. I wasn't good at networking. But my former job back in Taiwan was a reporter. So I was good at covering a story about a conference. So when I rolled up to the conference, say, I want a free ticket because I am a reporter from Taiwan, I knew there was some what I am good at, even though it didn't work out. But it was a hope that using your own strengths kind of helped me continue the journey. And I think a lot of times success is like this. You have a hope, so you try again. And while you try again, you fail one more time. But then you also eliminate one thing. Oh, I learned that thing doesn't work. And it was a try again and again, allow me to carry on and eventually find the right thing and became successful.
When, after this beginning process, did the seed get planted to begin Taylor?
After that, last 15 years, I worked my way up from Sears to Target, from Target to McDonald's, and then from eBay joined Meta, which were even more cutting edge company. And so it was an amazing journey, but I actually really asked myself what I'm really passionate about. It was a lot more of, I think next company is better, next role is better, from leading one person to leading 50 people, from leading just marketing team to lead engineering team as well. So when I was at eBay, I was the only female on the team as a head of product. I was also only person who didn't come from engineering background, but also leading technology team. I feel a little bit of imposter syndrome and feel like I need to look great and get ready for my day. I consider some subscription boxes, for example, Stitch Fix. I love the fact that they have stylists to pick items for you. However, I didn't like the part that you have to buy from every single shipment. I just didn't want to own that much stuff. I live in San Francisco at the time. It's a pretty small apartment. And I'm also a horrible person of tidying up. I didn't love throwing away stuff. And definitely not very good in make sure I keep the only the stuff that spark joy. So I also tried Rent the Runway and Newly, which is a profitable unicorn now owned by Urban Outfitter. They offer rental subscription. Great. You don't have to buy. You can rent. But the problem is that you have to browsing through thousands of items, spend hours. And there was a moment I realized most of those fashion companies, they were designing for people who are into fashion. Either you want to own the stuff or you want to spend time shopping. But they were not designing for people like me. I just want to get ready for the day and be successful. So we test with a whole bunch of people and found out a lot of people think just like me. But guess what? They are busy men with goals. They are single guy who go out for a day. They are salesperson. They are engineers who have meetings with their managers. They are people who go out getting a day, getting a job, closing a deal. All they have in common is they don't care about fashion. They don't want to chase me after clothes, but they want to look presentable to make sure they are getting ready for their week. And that's how Taylor started. We offer our styling service. So our AI will pick the perfect outfit to make you stand out. Before you go out, our human stylist will do the final check and then talk to you, make sure your item really fit with your upcoming schedule. And then when you receive the clothes, you have 5 items in the shipment. So you wear for a couple of weeks. You don't have to buy, but you can buy whatever you love. When you buy, it's secondhand, so it's good for the environment. And then you send back whatever you are not loving, and you can change to a next shipment. So no more shopping, no more laundry. And that's how we started.
With that idea, based on a need that you had, where did maybe your first phone call go? You know, we know that the power of growing is by digging into our own network. Was there anyone from either grad school or business school that was particularly influential at this time?
I think starting a startup isn't easy. And I'm also lucky with my co-founder, Phoebe. We met at University of Chicago for our MBA. So after Northwestern University with a master's degree in marketing, I worked for a couple of years and then went to University of Chicago, got my MBA. And at that time, Phoebe and I are only two of the 9% women in the class. And so she has totally different background as me. She knows operations. She runs a food company for airlines. So when you went on airline, when you eat those amazing food or not so amazing food, they were from her previous company before. So she knows operation and finance very well. I know technology and marketing. And then our classmates at the time from Northwestern University and also from MBA were actually became our first investor, including our professor. Our professor became our investor, and that's how we start a company. We start with just a simple landing page, and we ask people, say, if you want to interest in the service, then give us an email. So one day I got a phone call from a guy. I say, hi, I'm Michael. I have been waiting for so long, and can you please bump me up to your wait list? We were so small, we didn't even have clothes. We didn't have website. So that's why we were not able to offer the service. It was right after Thanksgiving. We went to buy a whole bunch of sales stuff, and we went to post office and pull the clothes in and ship it to him. And he became our first customer. And from there, from 1 to 10, from 10 to 100, 100 to thousands. And in the last 18 months, we have grown 10 times. And now we have investor who is Berlin Capital. They also invest in Lyft and Instacart.
This Michael sounds like an incredible first client, kind of pushing you to get everything going, having your ideal customer avatar in mind, right? Like it was kind of built for you and built for him. And then it took off from there. When you think about empowering the men through like the idea that this is picked for them, you know, how is the empowering of the shopper, the male shopper, translatable to women? And is this something that you're thinking about pivoting to a women's market as well?
I think so. We are solving a problem is that I want to help people be able to focus on their dream. Throughout my career as an immigrant, as a woman, I feel like many times I have to worry about things more than what I really care. When I go out for dates, I may have to worry about, am I looks great? Am I looks ready? When I'm going to lead a large team, I want to know, am I looks, they looks like a boss and like manager. So same thing, like before I go on show, should I wear this blue or red? But in fact, I don't care, am I wearing red or blue? I care that I actually get ready for the week so then I can focus on something, make me have a better life. And everyone's definition for better life is different. Some people is getting a date. Some people is a close a deal, get a job. And so one thing that we do related to women is, first of all, actually a lot of our customers are women who are tired of styling their husband and boyfriends. They would come to Taylor and say, how about I give this to your AI and your stylist? And so I don't need to worry about it anymore. I don't want to be the person put on the clothes on the bed every morning. So then, hey, get ready. Second, we also heard a lot of women. They say, you know, I really love the service for rental subscription. I use Rent the Runway. I use Newly and Amour in Banana Republic. But I hate my boyfriend or husband wear the same thing again and again because he is not dressing up. So then I cannot dressing up because what if I wear very nice and he just wear a plain t-shirt? So we also heard a lot of women like that. And most importantly, we see a lot of woman-owned styling designers. So we have a lot of stylists who are women. We have a lot of designers from all over the world. They are emerging designer, female designer, and minority designer. But, you know, they have amazing product out in Italy, in Netherlands, in Canada, in Korea, in Japan. But just no one heard of them here in the U.S. And luckily, our customer guy are people who only know Nike, Uniqlo, and Banana Republic. They don't know any other brands. So introducing those new brands from all over the world who has amazing product to them, for them, they feel like, that's great. Because I was so afraid to try something new. But with rental, since I don't have to buy, then I'm willing to try something new. Also, for some brand, not sure if people know, but 30% of clothes go directly from factory to landfill. Every year, so many clothes were being burned because it's just really hard to predict the inventory. So some brand, they don't want to sell to off-price company like TJ Maxx. They feel that's bad for the brand. So then they actually burn down those clothes. How wasteful it is. The clothes are still very good. Next year, is it actually just the color of the bottom is different, but everything's the same. But those amazing clothes were just being dumped to the landfill. A lot of brands now, just right after the season, maybe in 2 months, now they can continue renting out the clothes on our platform. And then also when people buy, they are buying secondhand clothes. And we also know customers' true preference, which are not impacted by the purchase price because they already pay a monthly fee. So whatever they rent is what they truly like. So we also feed back those amazing data back to the brand. I tell them, hey, this is what people like. Please stop producing junks. Only produce what people truly like to help them better manage their inventory and then better help the environment.
Something like this is definitely going to be something that's on par with who they are as a client and a consumer, but also as a citizen of the world. And to your point, like what a great way to save, you know, perfectly good things from landfill and just destruction for the purpose of ego, if nothing else, right?
So buying secondhand clothes or renting out clothes. And research also show that when people are renting clothes or buying secondhand, they buy less new stuff because we all know producing new stuff, it wastes a lot more like carbon footprints. And so it's also good for the environment. But we also know we are all busy. Who has time to go over the trash store every single day, right? So I think Taylor helped them to have a stylist pick perfect outfit for you. So then you feel like you are ready for the day. And then when you go out, if your friends say, this looks great, then you just keep it. And when you buy it, it's secondhand. So still like new, but a lot cheaper than retail price. So it's good for the environment, good for yourself, and good for the brands as well. Recently, we partnered with Coffee Meets Bagel and a lot of dating sites. So we partnered with Coffee Meets Bagel. We now offer their users a special program to help them to look great. We are also partnering with 3 dating sites as we speak. So we have Qualities and also Selective Search and those dating sites. So and matchmaking companies. We also help their customer to look great. Some of them, we offer lifestyling service. So people can actually have a stylist over the Zoom call. When you get the clothes, you can show them, am I looks right? Am I ready? So if you think of the movie, we are a little bit like wingman behind your day. Like, yes, you look great. You're ready. Go.
When it comes to finding these partnerships, how have you gone about that? And
yeah, I think it's back to what Northwestern University teach. It's really important to be consumer-centric, right? So when we started, we deeply understand what customer, why they signed up. Like for people who signed up, what's their motivations? And what we found was a lot of company, a lot of people, they are very interested in, besides update their fresh their wardrobe, update their wardrobe. One thing they really do also care is also on going out dates. And when I say dates, some of them were for single guy who want to find a new date. Some of them were just boyfriend or husband want to look great for their partner, for their wife. So we see a lot of those scenario. And for dating styles, you know, like sometimes you only have first impression for a few minutes to impress the other person. And especially I heard nowadays on dating site, a lot of people don't even meet. They have a Zoom call for 10 minutes and that's it. You don't even get a chance to go to the bar anymore. So I think like looking good on camera, looking good in person, not just about appearance, but also sometimes it's just peace of mind. You feel like you are ready. And so then you focus on true you and you can show your personality. And those were really helping people to be able to achieve their goal. And I think that will align with what Taylor be able to offer. And that's why besides Coffee Meets Bagel, we are launching partnership with Quality, Talkify, Selected Search, those matchmaking company. And we're also looking for more dating company and also gym, fitness center. So feel free to reach out if you think that we can be any help for.
You know, AI is everywhere. We're seeing it, you know, practically selecting our coffee for us now. So tell me a little bit more about how that works for Taylor. And is it saving your stylist time? Is it also super intuitive as far as like picking looks and styles? Like, what is your main goal with AI and how does it not be so scary for those that are on the fence about giving the computer more information?
I think so nowadays, just there's so much more value work that we can allow human to do, right? So you want your stylist to understand your need. Like, oh, you're going to Hawaii. Tell me more. Are you going to hiking? Are you going to a beach? Or are you going to fancy restaurant? Versus you want your stylist browsing through this 10,000 items and just to try to find the right prints that he or she has in mind, right? So you want the human actually doing something more valuable for you, while the AI can actually go to the system, look at your profile, look at what you say before, look at your comment and review, and then find out the best item that makes sense for you. Before Gen AI, how it works is that there's hundreds of attributes and some human have to write down the attribute. For example, this clothes has attribute of color. In color, we have these 20 choices, red, blue, light blue, dark blue, and these 20. There's no between light and dark blue, right? So, but nowadays with AI, you have unlimited attribute, right? Also in the past, we tend to match by item level. For example, Amy like A and B, Anya also like A, so Anya also like B. But in fact, what is true is that I may not like this item. What Amy like is A and B both have these unique buttons there. And that's why Amy like that. But we actually don't like second item because second item does not have this unique button, right? So we actually allow us to go a lot deeper and a little bit similar like in the old time, you say movie, you like this rom-com, so you should like this rom-com. No, I like this rom-com because it has a beach theme. But now AI can actually pull out all of those detailed attributes. So I actually like another movie also have beach theme, even though it may not be a rom-com movie, right? So there's a lot more detail that we can truly understand and allowing AI to do the busy work so our human stylists can deeply understand what customer really needed.
That's utterly fascinating, right? Like you said, that I love that conversation really came down to buttons. And we probably might not have even seen that when we're just looking at, okay, there's two different blue shirts and one has a different stitch or something like that.
Sometimes people don't know. They just say, I don't know. I don't like it. They cannot even explain, right? So maybe because it's a contrast cutter color between the bottom and the shirt. Maybe it was because the tiny bit of stitches on the side. But many times we cannot even explain. But in fact, we can use AI and simply draw out this attribute and eliminate those human things in. And of course, make sure that you can be also pushed out of comfort zone. And instead of sending you the same thing again and again because you like red, so you should like another red. You like blue, you should wear another blue. No, we also want to help you to discover a new brand, new style. You might be surprised. Hey, you actually looks great in streetwear, which you never thought you would be. Or a lot of our customers will say, I never wear green. And then we still send them some sort of green or olive color shirt. And they say, this is amazing. Do you have three more? I want to buy three more. I want to wear different days. So many times you don't know, you just have to try. And good that pair with rental model, you allow people to try that and also support a circular fashion.
When you think about navigating for the future,
What have been your biggest challenges so far?
So one thing we have heard loud and clear from our customers, they want us to be more than a one-stop shop. We start a company thinking we are meant to wear a rental subscription. We rent people clothes. But in fact, your number one feedback is, I don't care what I wear. I care I'm ready for the date. So do you have shoes? Do you have belts? Do you have Valentine's Day gifts? Do you sell flowers? Do you have jewelries? Because for them, it's about getting ready for their week. It's more than fashion. It's not about renting clothes. They don't care about clothes. They care, I can close a deal, get a job, get a day. So we are starting to find more partners who can supply our customers' need for accessories and hats and belts and shoes. And it's definitely exciting, but also could be challenges over time because we do have to figure out what's the right mix of the brand, what's the right style for the customer, how to operationally work so then we don't overwhelm ourselves with so many options. And also internationally, how do we work with other amazing international brands? And so then we can introduce something that otherwise you cannot get in the US. And so I think there's a lot more for us to learn. But luckily, we have seen a lot of good product market fit because for example, you are an amazing brand in Italy. It's extremely difficult for you to enter the US market. Coccoli, Macy's, they are not growing. Like, enter, go on Amazon, you are one of millions. Build out your own brand, guys buy the same thing again and again. How can you even convince them to try? So we found that it's a great product market fit to helping those brands to the market, but also helping that customer to get ready for the week, more like one-stop shop. And that's definitely going to be exciting, but also challenging and have a lot for us to learn.
Excellent.
When it comes to where you find your personal inspiration, I've been asking guests this season for book recommendations. Is there anything that has really struck a chord with you of recent?
I won't say recent, but I'm actually a book author and I publish two books related to career, but I also commonly frequently recommend other people's books. So as a marketer, I want to share one of my favorite marketing books is Getting to Aha, which is teaching people how to do positioning. Right? So you think of Disney, then you know this, the happiest place on earth. So it's just easy for people to remember. It's definitely something that I continue recommend people. I recently went on an Asian founder author meetup and I met the author of Choose Better. And it's a psychology book. It's by a behavioral science expert. He wrote a book about how to choose and what's the really decision-making framework to help people to make a better decision in business, in life. And I really enjoyed that. And I think you will like it too.
Excellent. I've heard of the first one. I will look for Choose Better. Right? And thinking about the greater good, you know, another thing I look for is impactful nonprofits that other women from all over the country and all over the world are supporting. What's got you just passionate these days?
I actually have been volunteer for one nonprofit and maybe a short story. Actually, more than 15 years ago, I volunteered in this nonprofit. And at that time, they just started. And what they do is that they found that there's a lot of Taiwanese American or Taiwanese people across around the world. They actually donate, but no one actually done this together. So sometimes it's hard to knowing the true impact or make sure that the energy and resources are cohesive to the right things. And also it's harder for to be a more meaningful amount. So they start this nonprofit, Shi Tai. And what they do is kind of consolidating all of the Taiwanese American and Taiwanese across the world and then focus on the consolidated resources to all of the world. And then 15 years ago, at that time, they would just have that idea and I volunteered there and did there for 5 years. Last month, my startup actually got breaking. But the problem after that was that we actually couldn't find the door manufacturer and door vendor because so many break in the Bay Area. So we call everybody and say like, hey, when can we get our door fixed? Everyone say it will take a couple months out. And then the one company came to us and actually fixed the door for free for us because the person was the one of the board member of the World Taiwan Foundation, which was the foundation that I volunteered 15 years ago. So he now owns a glass company. So they produce a glass door. So then he called his network. They came and fixed the door in just a couple of days. So on the one hand, I want to promote the World Taiwan Foundation for people. But also on the other hand, I want to share how, you know, you never know. 15 years ago, now after so long and the love is coming back. And it really helped me and inspired me to continue to do the good for the world.
That's incredible. Yeah, I do fully believe in that as well, that what you put out comes back and you never know where. And right there, your front door, especially at a time where I'm sure, you know, we know supply chain, getting things is tricky. And in a very busy area where maybe this is happening more often, that's just wonderful. As our time wraps up, we're definitely going to have to follow up further, but can you let the audience know where they can find you and any of your upcoming offerings or special events or anything that you want to share?
Yeah, so if you are interested, sign up for Taylor to make over your friend and family. You can try out gift card and also the subscription. Just use the word phenomenal. Just all one word, all caps, and you can get a discount for the subscription box as well as for the gift card. So give it a try, and I hope that you will save some time for your busy life as well as to help to save the environment. And that's taylor.style, taelor.style, style.
Excellent. I'll make sure all that's in the show notes. So it's a very easy click and they could learn more. And I like the keyword being phenomenal. That's fantastic.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I can't wait for more people to learn about the incredible you. We'll also link to your LinkedIn as well as the bio from the Taylor site as well. And we'll see where all these additional partnerships keep going for you.
Wonderful. This is Anya Chen from Taylor.style. Keep in touch, Amy, on LinkedIn. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Speaking of Phenomenal. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and even share the podcast, as well as stay tuned for more inspiring conversations. Remember, each and every one of you is capable of extraordinary things. Until next time, take care, and remember, you are phenomenal.